Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. Anytime you're in Huntsville, we hope you will come be part of our worship. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Now, we hope you enjoy this lesson brought to us by Paul Owen.
At the beginning of this year, the elders made a decision to alternate, try something new with Q&A, and we're going to alternate every other month instead of taking a variety of questions. We're going to select one particular question and spend the entire teaching time based on that one question. And tonight, the question is this. Can Satan be everywhere at the same time like God? It's an excellent question. And there are things that we know about Satan. Now, appreciate, please, the fact that some people have just assumed that Satan's not a real person. What he really is just a word that describes evil in the world. But of course that's not true. You go to the New Testament and he's always described as a living being, thinking, talking person. In Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus gave us the model prayer, you know, deliver us not into temptation, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's the King James translation. The New King James got it right. And they say it, I said it this way, delivers from the evil one. So in John chapter 8 and verse 44, when Jesus is teaching and he references lying, he doesn't call the lie the devil, but he says that Satan, a person you see, is the father of lies. When you get to the New Testament, well, the Old Testament too, you don't find the Bible making really a comparison between God and Satan as if they would be two equal beings, one representing good, light, one representing darkness and evil. It's not like a comparison. You don't find it that way. It's always that God is superior, vastly superior to Satan. So you look at the book of Job, for example, and God is limiting Job. We're going to talk some more about that in a few minutes. You get to Matthew chapter 4, and we'll talk about that some more. And Jesus is being tempted to the devil, but you never have a conversation where you feel like that maybe Satan is equal to or is one up on heaven's deity. As a preface to answering the question, I want you to think about this. Satan is a created being. So far as we know, Satan was one of the angels. Now, you don't have another category into which you can put him in the Bible. He was one of the angels, and the angels were created. So Nehemiah 9 and verse 6, you alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, heaven of heavens with all their host. And watch that, with all their host. Who's that? Now the host is sometimes sun and moon and stars talked about as the host of heaven, but also the angels with all their host, the earth, everything in it, the seas, all that's in them, and you preserve them all. The host of heaven worships you. Now look at Psalm 148. The host of heaven worships and was created, the angels. Psalm 148 verse 2, praise him, all his angels, praise him, all his hosts. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, now watch, and they were created. Now to the New Testament, to the book of Colossians, chapter 1 verse 16. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. The angels surely have to fall into that first category. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. All right, so the angels were created by God. Now, there was a time before the creation of our world that the angels were given the prerogative to choose between right and wrong, and some chose wrong. Now, I don't know more than that about that. I just know that some chose to rebel against God. And you have 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them out. The devil, so far as I know, was one of those. He was one of the angels who sinned. Now, by virtue of the fact that God created Satan, you understand then that he's got authority, because the created is never has more authority than the creator. So, here's the question again. Is Satan omnipresent as God is? Does he have the ability to be everywhere at the same time? There are two halves to this answer, and one is in reference to space and the other with reference to time. Because God, and we're comparing Satan to God tonight, God is omnipresent with reference to both. Both omnipresent in space and omnipresent in time. Now think about this with reference to space. With the Satan, with the devil, you think about him as in the passages, as having an entry time and an exit time. Matthew chapter 4, for example, when he comes to tempt Jesus. Verse 3, when the tempter came to him. So he wasn't there before, and now he is. He came to him, he said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. And in verse 11, when he's finished with tempting Jesus, he says this. Or the Bible says, then the devil left him. And behold, the angels came and ministered to him. And the point is that Satan had an entry place and he had an exit place. The same is true in Job, the first chapter. Now, there was a day when, verse 6, when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Was he there before? Apparently not. He wasn't there, and now he is there. He came among them. The Lord said, from where do you come? And he said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking back and forth in it. Is Satan omnipresent with reference to space? Is he present everywhere at the same time? The answer to that is no. But now I know it may be bothering you when I say that, what goes through your mind. So Ephesians 2 and verse 2 says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. I mean, in reference to temptation, I mean, isn't he everywhere? I mean, so you have Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God that you may withstand the wiles of the devil. For whom is that applicable? The answer is it's applicable to everybody at the same time. All over the world right now, people ought to be urged and encouraged to be careful about the wiles of the devil. Doesn't that indicate then that he is omnipresent? Isn't he everywhere at the same time? No. There are a couple of theories about this. Let me show them to you. The first one is that Satan has the power of multi-presence, being more than one place at the time, but not omnipresence. He can't be everywhere at the same time. Well, I find difficulty with that one. But the second one has more plausibility to it, and it's this, that Satan it has his influence. He's everywhere in reference to temptation in his influence. And we use it this way sometimes when we talk about major wars or battles. We would say that Hitler attacked Great Britain. Well, we don't mean that Hitler personally was doing all of that. The army representing, the German army did that. But we attribute it to the leader who is Hitler, and perhaps it's used that. Well, what I know about Satan is this. When you read these passages, it's clear that he has an entry time and then he has an exit time. In James chapter 4 and verse 7, you remember this. Resist the devil, and what? And he will flee from you. Is he still there? Yeah, apparently not. His influence maybe, but he's not. Resist him and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh unto you. In Luke chapter 4, that's exactly what happened with Jesus when he was tempted to the devil. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him. The question is Satan at the same, is he everywhere at the same time? We would use the term omnipresent, present everywhere at the same time. And I would say the answer is no. With reference to space, this says that he's not. He hasn't that ability as God has. But now let's take it to the next step, next second half of this answer. So what about with reference to time? Be impressed with the fact that your God is omnipresent with reference to time. That is to say, he's not limited by time. You have the ability to be aware of things in the past. And you have the ability, at least in your little circle in mind, we have the ability to know what's going on in the presence, but God is not limited from that. His scope is broader. He has the ability to see into the future. Look at Psalm 139. And he talks about our thoughts in verse 2. I love this passage. Stretch your mind around this. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. Now, that could, you say, well, maybe that means that that he is off in heaven, and from that distance, he's able to see my thoughts. Well, that would be pretty impressive by itself, but surely it means more than that. That what I'm thinking now, what I'm doing now, will ultimately result in my thought processes later this way. I do not know what those will be, but God has no such limitation, that God can see what my thoughts will be long before they even occur. Now let's go to Isaiah. Look at this, chapter 46, verse 9. Can God see the future? Does he have omnipresence in time? The answer is yes. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God sees the future. This is abundantly proven in the Bible with prophecy. Think about the prophecies of Christ. Micah chapter 2 or Isaiah chapter 53 or Psalm 22. And you see these intricate details about Isaiah 7 and 14, the birth of Jesus and the death of Jesus and the kind of death he would die and what people would say at the cross, Psalm 22. What is that? But a demonstration of the fact that God knows the future. He's omnipresent in reference to time. Satan is not. So, the question is, does Satan have the ability to be omnipresent the way that God does? The answer to the question is no. The Bible never, ever makes a kind of comparison that would leave you with the impression that Satan is anywhere like God in power and strength and might. Satan is always one who is controlled by God. God has always exercised the ability to control him. The book of Job, chapter 1, and Satan, you remember, says, God says to Satan, you can tempt Job. You can take away his possessions, but don't hurt him physically. And then later, you can hurt him physically, but don't kill him. Here's God controlling Satan. He's got that power. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Now listen to this. Who will not permit you to be tempted above that you are able. What is that but God controlling Satan? There's no comparison between the two. And Satan does not have the ability to be omnipresent. Now I'm going to throw one more thing into this discussion before we finish for the evening. And that's an often misunderstood verse. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28 about Satan and who this really is about. And that is this. Satan does not have the power to damn your soul. Satan, you know, sometimes you see a cartoon, you know, and you'll see Satan with a pitchfork and he is dominating hell and he is sweeping people into torment. Well, that's not really how it is. I mean, I understand how you might get this idea, because in Matthew chapter 5, hell is reserved for the devil and his angels. And you see, he's got these angels, so maybe he's got some power in the hellish realm. I don't know much about that. But what I know is this. Matthew 10 and 28 says, don't fear those who would kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And you look at that and you say, you know who we ought to be afraid of? We ought to be afraid of the devil. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not about the devil. That's about Jesus Christ. The New Testament teaches that the one who has the power of determining who will be lost and who will be saved is Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or evil. You're going to stand before Christ in judgment. I'm rather glad about that, because he's the one who died for my sins. I know that he loves me, and if there's any way to satisfy the justice of God and still take me to heaven, Jesus, of course, is going to do that. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, he's going to say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Who is going to say that? And the answer is Jesus Christ. It will not be the devil. He doesn't have that authority. But I can tell you one thing. When Jesus damns the lost to hell, and the judgment day, he's going to also send Satan right there with them. It will be Jesus who has the power. Look at the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And Matthew 25, again, says that hell is a place that is reserved for the devil and his angels. So, there you are. It's a good question. The question is, does Satan have the ability to be everywhere at the same time like God does? The answer to the question is no. We don't minimize his power. He still is the prince of the power of the air. He still has what the Bible calls his wiles or his trickery as he tempts us to sin. And we must always, every day, resist the devil so that he will flee from us, bearing in mind that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you have forgiveness from your sins? You can have that, you know. You must come to our Lord and come on his terms. Repent of your sins. Turn away from them. Confess the name of Jesus and be baptized. And the Bible says your sins will be washed away. Revelation 1:5 says the sins are washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. You can be baptized tonight and obey the gospel. We'll help you to do that. If you need the prayers of the Christians, now would be a great time to do that. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. If you'd like to respond, come as we stand and sing.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Paul Owen. If you have comments or questions, Paul can be reached by email at owen@westhuntsville.org.